evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a very, very, very hot, sticky Monday here in Washington, D.C. I mean, like, we're talking with 100 degrees today, folks. So I stayed in the house. I stayed in the house here. And now I'm here on the air live this Monday, June 18th, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Michael Collins Piper. Well, folks, we're not going to have any guests tonight, but other than you, if you choose to call in here, the number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Just a pile of news clippings here in front of me that I've accumulated the last couple of days. I wanted to run through them with you. Nothing particularly important, just a lot of little things that when you put them all together, I don't know, they tell us a little bit about what's going on in the world today. Here's something interesting, folks. You know, there's a very good little newspaper here in D.C. called Street Sense. It's put together by and for homeless people. And then homeless people get out in the street and sell it for a dollar a copy and earn some money. And anyway, it's a good project. And I always buy copies of Street Sense from our local Street Sense vendor. But anyway, this week they have a profile. It actually comes out, the paper comes out, I guess, twice a month or something like that. Well, they have a profile of one of the vendors. His name is Charlie Mayfield. Charlie's 73 years old, worked all over the Washington, D.C. area in various things. And anyway, Mr. Mayfield, by the way, is black. This is why this is important. And they ask him what his favorite movie is. They have a little profile of the vendors, and they ask him what his favorite movie is. He says, most Western movies, many featuring John Wayne, and the old Amos and Andy series. Well, you know, folks, that old Amos and Andy series, both on radio and television, was a very entertaining series. Very, very entertaining programming. I have a lot of the old Amos and Andy tapes from the radio program, and I've watched some of the old Amos and Andy series from television. But, you know, the funny thing is, they consider it racist. They. Who are they? Well, a few loudmouthed so-called civil rights leaders have called it a racist program. And, of course, the mass media, whenever they get a chance, even though Amos and Andy were part of the mass media, they, of course, now call it racist. But, you know, it's funny. More often than not, I see the people who are most favorably inclined, whenever I see it mentioned, the people who liked the old Amos and Andy programs were black people. Well, I happen to like the old Amos and Andy programs. I'm not black. And I don't think there's anything racist or racist stereotyping about them. But, you know, the fact is that that is the old image of it. But here's Mr. Mayfield, 73-year-old black man who's a distributor of this newspaper, Street Sense, you know. He says that he likes Amos and Andy. Now, I wonder if he's going to get called on the carpet by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith or by the NAACP and tell him he has to apologize for saying something nice about the Amos and Andy program. Very minor point, folks, but, you know, it's just the kind of thing that represents the plague, the problem of political correctness in this country today. Hell, I think RBN should start playing the RBN broadcast, the Amos and Andy broadcast. Very entertaining programming and real family fare in the best sort. All right, we're going to a break here, folks. Stay tuned for more when we come back.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust attack. just war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. You know, over the break, I was talking with my producer about this apparent problem with Amos and Andy. You know, an Amos and Andy television show back in the early 1950s, these were black actors playing black people who were employed, who were family-oriented, who didn't use drugs, who were not violent, who were loving and kind. And, you know, they'd play tricks on each other, funny little things right along the lines of what you saw in I Love Lucy. Except this was an all-black cast for the most part, with an occasional token white who would pop up. Okay, but that stuff is considered racist. Now, flash forward, although technically now we're flashing backwards still, to the 1970s, where you had all these black heroes in these black exploitation films, like Shaft and Cleopatra Jones. You know, that was all about sex and violence in the ghetto and kind of a glorification of it coming out of Hollywood. And those were not considered stereotypes. Those were not considered racist stereotypes. They were pushed on the black community by Hollywood. At the same time, they were telling us that these old-fashioned, family-oriented, quite clean shows like Amos and Andy, with no sexual innuendo in, nothing that can be considered objectionable, that stuff is bad. So you see, it's no wonder that people in this country get confused as to what we are or are not allowed to say about racial differences. You know, the official line is, it's kind of funny, the official line is that, oh, we're all alike, there's no differences, we're all the same, blah, blah, blah. Well, anybody of any color with any sense knows that blacks are not like white, not like whites, and whites are not like Asians, and all the Asians have differences among them. All the Latino groups have differences among them. We're not all alike. And anybody who tells you are is lying to you. But, of course, it's the mass media that decides what is and what isn't in this country. Which, speaking of the mass media, brings up a subject of special interest to me, and I think of interest to a lot of people. That's the JFK assassination. Well, as I've mentioned on this program, the new book by Vincent Bugliosi is getting the big hello in the mass media, which is reminding everybody that conspiracy theories of any kind are really dangerous to democracy, that they're potentially threatening to civil order, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What's very interesting, a couple folks have written, including a couple JFK assassination conspiracy theorists, they've written a letter to the editor of the New York Times book review, responding to a review on the new Vincent Bugliosi book. Here is what they describe as people to one degree or another who suspected that President Kennedy was killed as a result of a conspiracy and said so either publicly or privately. Here's the list, folks. Very interesting list. These are people who believe in some sort of conspiracy in the JFK assassination. Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Robert Kennedy, Jacqueline Kennedy, Onassis, William Atwood, JFK's special advisor dealing with Cuba, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, yes, sir, folks, Senator Richard Russell, member of the Warren Commission, Senators Richard Schweiker and Gary Hart, who were on the Senate Intelligence Committee in the 1970s, seven of the eight congressmen on the House Assassinations Committee, and its chief counsel, G. Robert Blakey, the following Kennedy associates: Joe Dolan, Fred Dutton, Richard Goodwin, Pete Hamill, Frank Mankiewicz, Larry O'Brien, Kenneth O'Donnell, and Walter Sheridan. Roy Kellerman, the Secret Service agent who rode with the president in the limousine, the president's physician, Dr. George Berkeley, Mayor Richard Daley of Chicago, singer Frank Sinatra, and 60 Minutes producer Don Hewitt. Now, that's a very interesting list of some pretty well-known names, folks. And I think it says a lot about the fact that these were people in the know who probably had access to more information than any of us lowbrow conspiracy theorists have had. And these are all people who thought that President Kennedy was killed as the result of some sort of conspiracy. Now, of course, in my opinion, at least one or two of those people were involved in the conspiracy. But be that as it may, that's just my little opinion. Okay, well, folks, this situation in Gaza and the West Bank is very, very disturbing to me, folks, because we have a civil war within the Palestinian movement, and it's very interesting. In the Washington Post, Warren Bass, who has a lot of Israeli connections and who actually has received funding from Israeli institutions for some of his writing, he has written a piece in the Washington Post, wrote a piece in the Washington Post over the weekend, more or less giving you a thumbnail overview of the whole problem. But what's very interesting is that this guy, who he is the deputy editor of the Outlook section of the Washington Post, he's obviously very, very pro-Israel, but what's interesting is that when he talks about the history of Hamas, he fails to mention that one very, very interesting thing, that Hamas, in its earliest period, was secretly promoted by the Israelis because the Israelis wanted to undermine the secular Fatah movement led by Yasser Arafat. Well, now Fatah, of course, is in charge of the Palestinian Authority government, which is now based in the West Bank, and they're only in charge because the prime minister dismissed the duly elected legislature, which was dominated by Hamas. So you see, we have all this strange little intrigue going on there, folks. But I'm here to tell you, don't buy into the argument that Hamas is not a legitimate organization. It may have had some prompting by the Israelis in its early period, but it took off, folks, because it does represent the thinking and the interests of many, 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 many Palestinians, evidenced by the fact that it won a majority in the Palestinian parliament in the last election. But, of course, as soon as we had that Palestinian parliament dominated by Hamas, the Bush administration and its Israeli friends refused to accept the democratically elected government. And, of course, this is something that Bush himself, this liar, this creep, this war criminal, I could go on, folks, this man who sits in the White House today, he talked about the need for democracy, and yet when the Palestinians practiced it and brought in a democratic government, the first thing he did was turn their backs on them. You know, it's interesting about the Gaza Strip, where Hamas is now apparently in control. According to a report in today's Washington Times, this is the most densely populated place on the planet. 1.5 million people are crammed in there, folks. And if you don't see any reason for those people to be angry and why they turn to revolutionary organizations, all you have to do is look at the whole history of the region and see that these were people who were displaced by the illegal invaders, whom we now hail today as our grand ally, Israel. Yes, folks, all these problems in the Middle East are a consequence of what the French ambassador to Britain called that blankety-blank little country in the Middle East that threatening to blow up the world. Very interesting, James Gilmore, the former governor of Virginia, he's running for the Republican presidential nomination. He's one of the quote-unquote conservative candidates in the race. He writes in the Washington Post, talking about the situation in Iraq, and he says, American interests come down to protection of our national security, protection of Israel's right to exist, and averting, if possible, a general war in the Middle East, nuclear or otherwise. No one has ever convinced me, folks, maybe I'm really off the beam, but no one in the entire world has ever been able to convince me that for any reason that Israel's right to exist or Israel's very existence is critical to America's interests. Now, I've never been able to figure that out, folks. I mean, it's part of the standard rhetoric. And it's part of the rhetoric that when a few people do dare to step out there and dare to even bring Israel into the equation, they prefer not to mention it unless necessary, because they don't want people to say that these wars are in Israel's interests. When they finally do say it, that America's interests involve protecting Israel's right to exist, they never explain why. They say, oh, it's a democratic country. Oh, the Jews suffered in the Holocaust. Oh, this and that. But none of that explains to me why the continued existence of Israel as a state is vital to the survival of America or any other country on the face of the planet. I can't figure it out, folks, but, you know, maybe I'm stupid. I don't know. Just my opinion here, and that's all it is. That's just my opinion. Well, we've got some callers lining up here, folks, and we are going to go to the phones in a minute or so here. One other little interesting thing, New York Times, June 17th, that was Sunday, they point out that among firefighters in New York, Rudy Giuliani, is both hailed and hated. They quote one of those firemen as saying, you know, everybody out there in Nebraska thinks we love Giuliani, but that's not the case at all. So again, folks, you know, it's all this imagery being promoted by the mass media, imagery that is often an absolute lie. And Rudy Giuliani is one of the biggest liars there is around, a real hypocrite, real scumbag, folks, frankly. All right, we're going to the break. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone. Stay tuned, folks. And you are free to call in here. The number is 800-313-9443.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you live from Washington. We're going to go to the phones now. You are welcome to call in here. The number is 800-313-9443. We're going to go directly to London, England with Joel. Joel, how are you doing tonight?
Hi there, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yeah, just barely, but speak up a little bit.
Okay, is that a bit better?
That's a little better.
That's a little better, okay. Okay, Mike, you're just talking about something in America regarding political correctness going out of control and stuff like that. I didn't exactly catch the story. Is it some cartoon or something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I don't know if you saw today, or, yeah, it would be today, in one of our so-called sort of conservative newspapers, the Daily Mail, there's a report on the BBC, and it's pretty damning reading. I know a lot of Americans really love the BBC, so it's about how much this left-wing political correctness bias it's got, and it's gone out of control. I mean, the public know it very well. They see something has gone tremendously wrong with the BBC, but a lot of people can't quite...
Hey, Joel, could you speak up just a little bit? You're a little distant there to me. I don't hear you, and I don't think my listeners can hear you either.
Okay, I'll try again, Mike.
Yeah, you just speak up a little bit.
Okay, I'm just going over is a report in today's Daily Mail, one of our conservative newspapers here, and it was talking about the political correctness and this left-leaning bias becoming completely out of control at the BBC. And I know a lot of Americans like the BBC. They see it as a kind of antidote to Fox News and CNN and stuff like that. I just wanted to read out a little something. It's not actually part of the report. It's just a very short thing. It's some commentary from earlier in the year. Can I just read it out to you, Mike?
Joel, you know, I am absolutely losing you. Let me... I'm going to ask my producer. Can you hear Joel? Yeah, I'm having a very... very difficult time hearing you, Joel. My producer says he can hear you, so chances are the audience can too. Basically, what I gathered from what you said was that in England there has been some publication of articles about political correctness getting out of control and there being a left wing bias.
With the BBC in particular.
Joe, I'll tell you what, I can't hear you, but I want you to just go ahead and say what you have to say.
Okay.
Because I think the listeners would like to hear you say it.
Okay, no problem, Mike. Okay, right. This is just for Americans, because a lot of Americans like the BBC. They really see it as a kind of antidote to kind of Fox News and all that stuff. There's a report that just came out today about it, and there's actually some commentary from earlier in the year. It's a little bit from the guy at the Daily Mail, and he surmises that, hold on. He says, what really disturbs me is that the BBC is in every part of its corporate body against the values of conservatism, with a small c, which just happen to be the values held by millions of Britons. Now, hold on. It is hostile to conservatism and the traditional right, Britain's past and Britain's values, America, Ulster Unionism, Euroscepticism, i.e. anti-federal Europe, capitalism and big business, the countryside, Christianity and family values. Conversely, it is sympathetic to Labour, European federalism, the state and state spending, mass immigration, minority rights, multiculturalism, alternative lifestyles, abortion and progressiveness in the education and justice systems. And I'm only pointing this out to Americans, because I know a lot of Americans love the BBC, they see it as a great thing, but really it's a terrible thing here. It's just out of control. I don't know if you heard any of that, Mike. I hope the listeners did. Mike?
Joel, you know what? You've been talking, and I haven't been hearing a word you're saying. But since you were calling all the way from London, and since my producer could hear you, I was assuming that the audience could, too. I guess you can hear me.
Yeah.
But I like any time we get a caller from a foreign country, I always like to get some input there. So I don't have any idea exactly what you said, but I basically got the gist of it from what I could hear, and I'm gonna say thanks for your call, Joel, and hopefully the next time you call, I'll be able to hear you.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Folks, he could have come on there and said that his favorite radio broadcaster is Daryl Bradford Smith, and I wouldn't have known one way or another what he was saying. I could just hear him way, 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 way back in the distance, but I guess what I would have to say without actually having heard what he said is that this problem with political correctness that I opened up the show discussing is something that is overtaken the world. I, in my travels abroad, I often heard my friends in Asia, for example, complaining about how the mass media, even in their countries, is so negatively impacted upon by the liberalism and the internationalism and the pro-Zionism and the political correctness of the Western mass media. So you, folks, don't feel like those of us here in the United States or our friends in London like Joel are the only people who are being punished by the mass media. No, the whole world is getting punished by the mass media, and it all comes back to what I've said from the very beginning. It comes back to the bottom line that we need to break up the mass media empires of NBC and CBS and ABC and all of these powerful Jewish-controlled networks that have their interests and their interests alone at heart, and certainly not the interests of any nation except for the possible exception of Israel. Okay, well, we are going to the break here, folks, and when we come back, we're going to go to some domestic phone calls, and hopefully I'll be able to hear them. Stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
London, if you're listening, I kind of got the gist of what you were saying, and I think you heard my comments on it earlier. Now I'm going to cross my fingers, and well, maybe I don't want to hear what the next caller has to say. He's our resident cynic. It's Jim from Texas.
Hello, Mike.
I can hear you, Jim. I'm not sure if that's good or bad.
Well, it might be bad for you, because for our limey brethren from London there, that he has an exaggerated sense of what people in the know think of the BBC, because the BBC is no different than NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, all the same. They're all the same. They're all run by the same people with the same control, with the same story, and there's no difference in them. That why he would think, because BBC has a worldwide audience, doesn't mean that it's any different. It just means that they got a worldwide audience.
Well, you know, I'll tell you where, you know, I got that much from him, Jim, when what little I could hear of him saying. But I'll tell you what my reaction to what he said. I understand what you're saying, but I can tell you this much. Years ago, we used to have a correspondent in Britain back in the old days of the Spotlight. We had a correspondent in Britain who would send us clippings from a lot of the British newspapers, and those British newspapers periodically, of course, would be carrying stories about things that were broadcast in the BBC. And it was very clear to me that the people in Britain were actually getting a lot more solid information, at least about what was happening here in the United States, than what would be published in a lot of American newspapers.
You're absolutely right, because in the 1940s they would print and tell people about how the Irgun and the Menachem Begin and those people were stringing up British soldiers and booby trapping their bodies when they would go to take them down. They would blow them up, and they would print stories like that, which never got a mention in the American press. But did it do anything about what the British were doing about things? Absolutely not.
Well, no, that again, but your point is the bottom line, and it's well taken, and that is the fact that this mass, international mass media monopoly, particularly in the realm of broadcasting, there is really very little difference in it. And that's where I got the complaints, as I said in my comments, that from people in Malaysia, and, you know, people in Japan, and people in the United Arab Emirates, I mean, all these different places, they were concerned about the fact that there is so much of this propaganda coming out of the West that is leaking into their cultures through the mass media and through the broadcast media. So you're right about that. No question about that.
Anybody that trusts one word from the mass media is a fool. One word. And that's my opinion.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, these days, Jim, I very seldom watch broadcast television because, you know, it is such crap. And if I'm looking for information, you know, I go to a lot of different sources. But, you know, I think your approach on that is correct. Don't believe a word of it and then sort it out for yourself. That's what I do.
But I hear on good authority that your main source is The Forward.
Yeah, well, it's a good newspaper. In fact, you know what, Jim? I just picked up a copy of The Forward the other day, and I showed it to somebody who does not do too much reading, and I said, if you really want to know what's happening in the world or what's going to happen, you need to read The Forward.
Read The Forward and read Haaretz, and it'll tell you everything they're up to.
That's
they're blatant about it.
That's
they
exactly right. Crazy but true.
Absolutely.
All right, Jim, I got to move on here. A couple more callers lined up. Thanks for your call, Jim. As much as I hate to admit it, you know, Jim's our resident cynic, but he's more often right than not. Maybe most often right. All right, we have David in Massachusetts. David, come on up.
Okay, I'm very happy to talk to you, and it's a beautiful weather up here in Massachusetts and New England today. How was it down in Washington in the 90s?
Hot as hell. It was 100 degrees today.
Well, good. That should be. That's what June should be all about. I want to make a whole bunch of points here, short points, but they're important. You did mention the Warren Commission, and you mentioned Richard Russell, who was a senator from Georgia, and he was he was chairman, I think, of the commission, wasn't he?
No, Earl Warren was chairman of the commission. Richard Russell was just one of the members, but he was certainly an influential member.
That's correct. You're right. Warren
yeah.
was the chairman. Well, Richard Russell, I remember him as senator from Georgia. Every once in a while, it would be in the paper, Richard Russell would say this, that the United States should be more even-handed in its foreign policy in the Near East. He'd say that every once in a while. So that means he wasn't a stooge of being, you know, overboard for Israel. Russell was quite a good friend of Lyndon Johnson, but I don't think he had much effect on Johnson's foreign policy concerning the Near East, because Johnson was the finest friend that Israel could ever have.
Absolutely. You're right on that one.
And every time Johnson ever ran, when he ran for the Senate in 1948 and when he ran for re-election in 1954, Johnson was always, in all those years that he was in the Senate from 48 right up to 1960 when he ran for vice president with Kennedy, Johnson was always, to him it was like religion, going to church on Sunday. He attended every Benebrith, like a dinner, you know, when they'd have a big dinner. He was always strictly with the Benebrith and strictly for Israel.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Johnson's record on that, Johnson's record on support for Israel was probably one of the strongest in the United States Senate, outside maybe someone from New York or something like
well,
that.
Well, I'd say it was 100%, and I want to say this about Johnson. I almost forgot this, which I said about Russell. Johnson in the Suez War of 1956 was the Senate majority leader, I believe. I believe the Democrats could have been in the, I don't know if, I think they were in the majority, slight majority in the Senate in the...
I believe so,
56.
Yeah.
And Johnson said, this is as clear, I mean, you can go back in the newspapers and see it, he said he would block every single bit of Eisenhower's program until Eisenhower took the pressure off of my friend Israel.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He's on record for saying that. And now here's another thing I want to bring out. That in the 1948-1949 war, which is Israel's war to independence, set up the country, which was then Palestine, now called Israel, many of the Zionists attacked Christian shrines. And they had a group of Palestinian Christian Arabs who came over this country and asked for support. And they got darn little support out of the Roman Catholic Church in this country. And at that time, I think Cardinal Spellman was a rising, you know, very influential person as a... cardinal in the church in this country, and overall the Catholic Church didn't give him that much support.
That's very interesting. I wasn't aware of that. I wasn't aware of either the attacks on those Christian shrines or of the fact that that these Palestinian Christians asked for support. And it's I'm sure you're right about Cardinal Spellman probably being then, at least this is the implication, that Cardinal Spellman was probably the one who put the kibosh on it.
Well, Cardinal Spellman was always known to be a great friend of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Great
mm-hmm.
friend of the Jewish people. And let's see, here's another point I want to bring out. That it in 19... I've got this book about Israel and the atomic bomb. Kennedy, when he was in 1963, sometime in the year 63, early in the year, I believe it was, or late in 62, he did send some communication to David Ben-Gurion expressing deep concern about Israel's atomic bomb development, and he wanted to either have an international commission or an American commission, I forgot what it said in the book, one of those two, to visit Israel and look at the Dimona site and to inspect it thoroughly. He did say that. I know I got it in that book, the one I quoted from you about how in the June 1967 war, the Russians had a some submarines prowling the Mediterranean, and there was a order, which was never given, obviously, that if the order came in, that Russian submarine was ordered to send, to fire atomic missiles into Tel Aviv, and the order never came in. And here's how I tie that in. You remember how that very influential, knowledgeable Jewish person, Meyer Feldman?
Mm-hmm. He was Kennedy's advisor, yeah.
Well, in May of 67, he and other people who would be called in the know, the knowers, they knew that Israel had completed two deliverable atomic bombs in May 1967. And I believe that if they knew it, nobody's going to tell me that the Russians didn't know it, because they have a very strong spy service, one of the best, and I'm sure they knew it. And I believe the reason that order never came in from Moscow to fire atomic missiles into Tel Aviv is this reason. Israel didn't use the atomic bomb, so the Russians didn't use it. That's my own opinion.
Well, David, I tell you, that's very interesting, because I would just the last couple of days have been doing some rereading on some of these areas that you're talking about. And, you know, one little thing it's actually a very big thing, which is very little known, and that is the fact that Israel's atomic weapons, some of their atomic weapons were aimed at Moscow. Now, that will come as a surprise to a lot of people who have always thought, you know, there's a lot of people who've always thought that Israel and the Soviet Union were in cahoots. And there were factions within the Soviet Union that were in cahoots with Israel, but many, many in the Soviet military in particular were very much anti-Israel and literally in those days pro-Arab. So that whole aspect of Israeli-Soviet relations is an area that's very little understood. But on the whole, everything you said was absolutely right, David.
And not only very little understood, as you said, but very little discussed.
But very little discussed, that's exactly right.
And here's another point I want to bring out. There are Palestinian refugee camps in Lebanon, and I'm pretty sure they have them in Syria. And I've been told by Lebanese people in this country that, which is a great mistake on the part of Lebanon, but not Syria, in the Syrian camps, it is forbidden for any of these Palestinian Arab refugees to own weapons. But in Lebanon, they can own weapons. So therefore, there's more trouble in the camps in Lebanon. And I think just recently they killed a couple of Lebanese soldiers, didn't they, a few weeks back? I think they did. Whereas in Syria, they can't own weapons in the camps. That's what he told me.
Well, you know, I tell you, again, it's funny you mention this aspect of the camps because, you know, that's essentially what Gaza is. And as I pointed out earlier, you know, this is one of the most concentrated areas of population anywhere in the face of the earth. So anyone who is not sympathetic to the Palestinians or who is pro-Israel, you know, the people who are pro-Israel don't ever consider the way that the Palestinians have had to live since they were forced out of their native territory and forced into refugee camps all throughout the Middle East, you know. And this is why we have the problems. This is why there is this hostility to Israel. And now Israel is playing this game along with the United States that they're going to prop up the West Bank. And what they're only doing is making the situation in Gaza worse and making more and more enemies. So let them have at it. Let them continue. Let them continue to play the games. And in the end, there will be an ugly price paid. And I just hope that as few Americans as possible are spared the consequences. David, I have to move on.
Okay.
Let's go to Patrick in Georgia. Patrick, come on up. Patrick, are you there? Patrick in Georgia?
Michael?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. I couldn't hear you.
I can hear you now.
Great. The first comment I wanted to make was real quickly on the Carl Cameron. I remember you talking about that report he did on Fox someone last week. The book Gideon's Spies by, I can't remember the guy's name right offhand, but I just finished reading it not too long
ago.
Gordon Thomas, right. He, in his latest edition he put out in 2006, he discusses that issue, and he said it was an underground operation conducted by that Rafi Eitan, and he was doing it on his own, apparently, without the knowledge, without the approval, I think, of the Mossad, and it got out of hand. And so, when Cameron started reporting on this, there was no memo or anything circulating around saying, "Well, this is happening. This subject's off limits," because really, they didn't. The people in the United States media, they didn't know about it either. Because it was kept from the people of Mossad. It was a covert operation, is what Thomas says in his latest edition of that book. Anyway,
yeah,
so
I'll have to.
Once they found out about it, they put the squash on it. Cameron got in trouble.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I have an earlier edition of that book. You know, Gordon Thomas, his book on the Mossad is very, very interesting. But I think you always have to caution yourself when reading that material, that this is material that much of which was given to him directly by the Mossad. So,
yes.
So this is stuff that the Mossad didn't have any problem with being released.
That's correct.
Yeah,
a lot of it is very pro-Mossad. It's like a boastful book, you know. They're boasting of what they can and can't do. And
yeah, we We had some Gordon Thomas wrote for American Free Press for a while back a couple years ago, and then the editors there, and I was not involved in this, so I don't know all the details of it, but the editors had some problems with some of the stories that Gordon was giving us, and then we finally had a parting of the ways there, but I, as I say, you have to keep that in mind, at least what he wrote about in that book. That was stuff that was given to him by the Mossad. So you know, they've always been very, very clever. The Mossad has always been very, very clever in leaking information that they do want out in the public arena, even if it might sometimes make them look a little bad, because a lot of times that information also makes them look more powerful sometimes, maybe, than they really are.
Well, I had another comment.
That's kind of a way to look at it.
Can I make another comment?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Hang on for the break, Patrick. We have this break coming up here. Stay tuned, folks. Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've got Patrick from Georgia. Patrick, you were going to make another point.
Yes, on political correctness, this is an early example of it. You know, I've read in the history books where they describe the Soviet Union when Lenin and Trotsky and the Bolsheviks first took over. They describe it as having, they credit him with bringing to life the world's first atheistic totalitarian dictatorship. And it's funny because when you read about it, when Trotsky and Lenin came back to Russia in 1917 in the late summer and they started campaigning for support to try to overthrow the provisional government, they went around the country and they were telling people that they were going to put together a dictatorship of the proletariat, which in Russian terms, proletariat means worker, working class. They were going to build a dictatorship of the working class. That's what they went around and tried to gain support for their program. And what did they build? What was their dictatorship of the proletariat?
Hardly anything but that.
It was a prison. Those people were in a prison for over 70 years. The Russians, once they put the dictatorship together, I mean, they were enslaved.
You know, it's funny, Patrick. I always recall back when I was in high school, and I was very anti-communist, as I still am today. And I had a teacher who made some comments in class to the class about me, and he said, Mike is an extreme anti-communist, but he said, there's really very little difference between life in the Soviet Union and life in the United States. They just have a different economic model. Now, of course, you know, I had a lot to say in response to that, but I was just so damned mad that I said nothing. And then he went on to say that I was a flag-waving super patriot, as though there was something wrong with being a flag-waving super patriot.
That's just
the kind of political correctness, or I should say political distortion, that you get from these mad liberals. And this is what our public school system, and for that matter, even our private universities, have been subjected to for the last 50 or 60 years. And fortunately, though, I think there's a lot of younger people who are a lot smarter than our egg-headed liberal intellectuals would like to think. So I would like to see another student rebellion like we had in the 1960s, but a rebellion against this political correctness. And, you know, eventually we're going to have just that.
It's all controlled by the Illuminati, every bit of it, their education, the media, and all everything.
It's not an accident. It's all been well planned. These cultural communists from the Frankfurt School in Germany, they came to this country before and during World War II. They took control of the educational system at the university level, and that seeped down into the public schools. And, of course, the biggest promoters of the public schools have been the Freemasons. So what you see is what you get.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
Thanks for your call. Good call, Patrick. All right. Apologies to those we couldn't bring up, but we will be here tomorrow night, God willing. Now, if you want some more good programming, you know to stay tuned, and you're going to hear Rick Adams. All right. Have a good evening, folks. Keep cool. Or if you're in Alaska, keep warm. In any case, we'll see you here tomorrow night. Have a good evening.